you probably heard of a bunch of water organizations working around the world in places like Sub-Saharan Africa or Southeast Asia, like water.org or Charity Water. Well, we're the only organization working in the U.S. to bring hot and cold running water to the 2 million people in the U.S. who still don't have it. And that's really what this report we've just released is about. It's the first national report on the water gap, those at least 2 million Americans who still don't have running water or a flush toilet, which is something I think the rest of us just take for granted.
And how long have you been working on this report?
2 years. We've been working on the report for 2 years. It's been a tough road because there is no central federal data on this problem. And in fact, we're one of the only countries that doesn't collect that data. So it's hard to know if we're making progress or what the size of the problem really looks like. So we spent 2 years digging into every available data source. And we use that to sort of map the problem and to get an idea of just how big this problem might be. And then I think, honestly, most importantly, we took researchers and we embedded them in 6 communities across the country that are facing water challenges, communities that we thought were sort of representative of towns and cities across America facing this problem. So we sent researchers to towns in California, in Texas, native reservations, to the Deep South, to Appalachia, to Puerto Rico. And in those places, we did listening sessions and site visits with all sorts of people to find out, what does this problem really look like in 2019? Why does it still exist? And what can we do about it?
Was there anything in this report that surprised you over the course of doing this?
The sheer number of people that are in the water gap surprised me. We got into this work on the Navajo Nation, which, as you know, down there in the American Southwest, takes up parts of New Mexico, Arizona, Utah. There's some Navajo territory in Colorado. And 40% of people there don't have running water. So they're collecting it from a pond or a livestock trough. And if they're lucky, they have the money in the car to drive up to 50 miles round trip and get bottled water. And so through our Navajo Water Project, we've been bringing hot and cold running water to hundreds of families across those states in the last couple of years. But as we started that work, you know, we were getting calls and emails from people across the country saying, oh, like I thought my community was the only one here in West Virginia or in Texas or in Alabama. And so we took a step back and said, well, what does this problem look like nationally? How are we going to solve it? And when we couldn't find the data, we decided to embark on this process to collect it ourselves. And I think that number 2 million really is shocking, and it could be much higher. That's the floor. We know there are at least 2 million, but there may be more. I think the other thing we found that was shocking is that in 6 states and in Puerto Rico, access is actually going backwards in the period of time that we were looking at. So it's possible that in those places tomorrow, fewer people will have running water than they do today. And I just don't know how that's happening in the United States.
So does this report identify reasons why the water gap exists?
If you are Black or Latinx, you're twice as likely as a white household not to have running water. If you're Native American, you're 19 times more likely than a white household not to have running water. And that's a sign of how this problem developed. When we decided to build what is today one of the most complex, successful water delivery systems across this country, we, either by accident and sometimes very much by design, left communities out of infrastructural development. We redlined them, we disinvested in them, and we said, you know, they don't need or don't deserve what we're giving to the rest of the country. And so now we're left with pockets of what we call water poverty all over the country in all 50 states, from Maine over to California up to Alaska. And these communities have never had access, and now they have to struggle to catch up with the rest of the country under really difficult circumstances, facing poverty with just a small amount of federal resources available to them, most of those as loans, not grants. But the urgency, the need to do that is bigger than ever before because climate change is making water more difficult to access. And, well, the lived reality of not having running water in 2019, not being able to take a shower or brush your teeth before you go to school, being too sick to go to work, it's just not something anyone should have to struggle with.
After doing this long process of collecting this data, visiting the various communities, and learning about the water access issue, what recommendations would you and others that you've worked with have for elected officials in working to solve the water access problem?
We developed a 4-part action plan that we think we could use to solve this problem in our lifetimes. I mean, the number 2 million might seem like a big number, and it is, especially in the United States, but it's also a very solvable problem. So we've laid out a series of steps that include measuring the problem by changing the way we conduct the census, to treating this like an emergency and opening up new funding and avenues for government assistance, to supporting community-based projects that are already happening in these hotspots all over the country. There are some incredible things happening at the local level that we found in our reporting, communities that are devising really creative, ingenious ways to help their neighbors get running water.
You mentioned Dig Deep working to bring hot and cold running water to some of these communities that don't currently have it. Could you tell me more about some of those projects?
Sure. Our Navajo Water Project, for instance, which I think is closest to you, serves the Navajo Nation, where I mentioned that almost half of people don't have running water at home. That project is a community-led project. So there's this incredible resource in these communities, which are school bus drivers that have a commercial driver's license, that know the community like the back of their hand, and that have a bunch of free time between their morning and their afternoon bus routes. So in communities across Arizona, New Mexico, Utah, these bus drivers will park their bus in the morning and then pick up a water truck, fill it up at a well that's regulated, chlorinated, or at their school, and they'll deliver water along their bus route to people's homes. And then in each home, we install these off-grid home water systems that store 1,200 gallons of clean water underground and that use solar power to pump it up into the house through filters and water heaters into sinks and showers and toilets. And so community members get the same hot and cold running water that the rest of us in this country enjoy. But it's a project that they own and operate and manage. And it serves a place that honestly will probably never get traditional water and sanitation lines because people live so far apart from each other. And these are the kind of solutions, the Navajo Water Project, one of them, that we're seeing pop up around the country to this problem and that we think need more attention and more resources.
So this report is titled Closing the Water Access Gap in the United States, a National Action Plan. Is this report publicly available as of today?
It is. The report's publicly available at closethewateraccessgap.org, where you can find the full report, you can read an executive summary. I think most critically, we set up a fund on that website where you can donate directly to community-based projects in communities across the country where people are working hard to get water to their neighbors. And we'll take 100% of those funds and turn them right around and give them to these projects, fire stations in West Virginia that are distributing water, community-based organizations in Texas that are helping bring running water to people's homes along the border. So, yeah, visit closethewatergap.org, read the report, find out what this problem looks like and what the solutions look like, and be part of it.
Thank you so much for your time today, George. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.